The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh, for that. And I appreciate Mrs. Cavanaugh. She works in church office, does so many things, has a ladies' class, does an outstanding job there, teaches, of course, wherever we need her, in the academy, also in the college. Take your Bible and go, if you will, to John chapter 3, verse 16. I say, come on, preacher, know it by heart. Look at it. I want you to look at it. John chapter 3, verse 16. I want to speak tonight on never forget your purpose. And I'm going somewhere with this verse as we lead on to some other verses. I want you to read it with me out loud. You ready? Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Did you catch that last part? Everlasting life. Sometimes we forget all that Jesus Christ has done for us and that he is giving us that everlasting life. Look at Revelation again, chapter 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. It says, and power, for Thou hast created all things, it says, for Thy pleasure, and they are, and the Bible says, for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Now take your Bible, look at this verse. This is really neat. You ought to see it and underline it. Go to Acts chapter 20, look at verse 35. You'll like this. This would be a verse that you'll keep forever. So I've already got it. It's in my Bible. I have it forever. No, this would be a verse you'll cherish. This would be a verse, if you will, that should be a part of your life as it was the Lord Jesus' life. Look at it. Acts chapter 20. You should be there by now. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. The Bible says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words, and watch this, and remember the words, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's what he says. He said, remember the words. Now think about that. Remember the words. Okay? My grandfather had certain words that he said, phrases, if you will. And I can remember the words that he said. You know what that was? That was words he said often. Words he said often. There are certain people that use certain phrases in their lives, and you can remember the words that they said. And here's what the Bible says. It says, watch it now, to remember the words that remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how that he said, or how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I can imagine it was at the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus said those words, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I can imagine when there was the healing of the blind, how he would say it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine when there was the healing of the lame, he would say, now fellas, don't you forget, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine as he stopped to heal the deaf, he would look around and say, now don't you forget this, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine as he's walking beside the one that is dumb and he reaches over and he heals them, he would say, now fellas, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine over and over again as the Lord Jesus is walking by the way, as he has the disciples beside him, that he stops to remind them, don't you ever forget this, fellas, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I imagine with every single miracle that he ever performed, and those that were standing by, especially those that were close to him, he would say, let's not forget, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Then you come to the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, where we're reminded that we're supposed to do some things, how we're supposed to labor to support the weak, and how we're supposed to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For it says, with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Well, the Bible says that he's the only begotten Son. What does that mean? What does it mean to be the only begotten Son of God the Father? What that means is he is perfect. He is sinless. But yet, watch this. He left a perfect, think about this, sinless heaven. And he came to that which is a wicked earth. Can you imagine leaving that which is heaven, a place that's full of eternal riches, a place that's full of peace, a place where there is no sin, a place where there's praise, a place where there's loyalty, a place where there's complete love, a place where there's complete holiness, a place where there's angelic worship, a place where there's godly music, a place where there's no death, a place where there's no lying, a place where there is the throne of the Father. There is no stealing there, no robbing there, no jealousy there, no corruption there, no disease there, no death there, no grave there, no night there, no fear there, no immorality there, no Christian rock music there, no rock music there, no country music there, no pop rock there, no immodest dress there, no mixed bathing there, no there's nobody running around trying to steal something. There is no MTV there. There is no televisions there. There is no mother-in-law's. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding on that one. I'm just kidding. But could it be true? Because the Bible says that in heaven there's no marriages or given in marriages. But I'm just kidding about the, you know, if they're saved, they're going to go. They're going to be with you for all eternity. Let me help a little bit, though. Realize some things about the Lord. Realize that he never forgot his purpose. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. You know, as I was rewriting the message in this Bible to give away to the one that brings the most visitors here next week and to give it away the week following in recognition of that. Did you know, as I was rewriting the messages, I was writing out all the verses that I used this morning in over 35 verses I used this morning in giving out the gospel. And can I tell you that as we look at this message tonight, I'm just going to use a few verses to depict our Lord Jesus Christ and show you some things. But I want you to see statement number one, Jesus knew who he was. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, behold, it says, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The Bible says, being interpreted, God with us, all right? And so he never forgot who he was. Now, who is he? He is the Son of God. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Talk to me. Who is he? He never forgot that. He never forgot that he was the Son of God. He never forgot where he came from. And by the way, you listen to me tonight. You ought never forget that you're a child of God. You ought never forget tonight that you're a child of the King. You ought never forget tonight that you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget tonight that you're more than a conqueror. Never forget tonight that you're heirs to the throne. He never forgot. He never laid it down one time. And you and I ought to never lay down the fact that we are created in his likeness. We ought never to lay down the fact that we are made in his image. We ought never lay down the fact that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In the Bible, there's several names for him. He's called Adam. He's called Advocate. He's called Almighty. He's called Alpha and Omega. He's called Amen. He's called Angel. He's called the Anointed One, Author and Finisher of our faith, beginning and the end of the creation of God. Beloved, he's called the branch. He's called the bread of life. He's called that which is the bridegroom. He's called the bright morning star, captain of salvation, carpenter, carpenter's son, chief shepherd, chief cornerstone, chiefest among 10,000, chosen of God, Christ, Christ the King, Christ Jesus our Lord, Christ of God, Christ of the chosen one, Christ the Lord, commander, cornerstone, counselor, David, daysman, dayspring, Day Star, Deliverer, Desire of All the Nations, Desire of the Nations, Desire All of the Nations, The Door, The Elect, The Emmanuel, The Incense, The Everlasting, The Eternal One, The Eternal Life, The Everlasting Father, The Faithful and True, The Faithful Witness, The Finisher of Our Faith, The First and the Last, The First Begotten of the Dead, The Firstborn, The Foundation, The Friends of Sinners, The Gift of God, The Glory of Israel, God, God Manifest in the Flesh, God of Israel, God of the Whole Earth, God Our Savior, God's Dear Son. Over and over you'll see God with us, a good Master, Governor, a great Shepherd of the Sheep, High Priest, Head of every man, Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, Hope, Horn of Salvation, I Am, Image of God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the King of the Jews, Jesus, the Son of God, Judge, the Just One, King, the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the King of Servants, the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the King of Zion, the King over all the earth, and countless of other names is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, he never forgot who he was. Not one time did he ever lay it down like some Christians do. Not one time did he ever lay it down and say, well, I'm going to be more Christ-like today than I was yesterday. Not one time. He kept it up. He kept walking the right direction. He kept going the right direction. He didn't apologize. He didn't bow his head and compromise. But he was an individual that knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Talk to me. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Statement number one. Statement number two. Jesus had a trade. Look at your Bible, if you will. Look at Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, watch this very carefully. Mark chapter 6 and look in verse 3. The Bible says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joas? The Bible says, and Judah and Simon. Watch this. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now watch this very carefully. Is not this the carpenter? So Jesus not only never forgot who he was, he knew who he was, but secondly, Jesus had a trade. Jesus was called the carpenter. Now back then, by law, you had to take up some type of skill. Every young man, by law, had to take up a trade. Not necessarily a trade of luxury. Not necessarily a trade, if you would please, that would be something that everybody look at and say, wow, look at him and what he's doing. But they had to pick up a trade. And most of the time, they would pick up the trade of that one of whose household they did live in. Here, Jesus was living in the household of Joseph. Joseph would be the carpenter. Jesus now being raised in that which is the carpenter's house. And one time he's even alluded to in the Bible and stated that he was the carpenter's son. You'll see that Joseph now is gone. You understand that all those years coming up in the carpenter's workshop, he had to learn how to work with people. You understand coming up all those years in the carpenter's workshop, he had to learn how to handle money. You understand, coming up in the carpenter's workshop, he had to learn how to fill people's needs. He had to learn how to lead people. He was somebody that was masculine, not somebody as depicted. And by the way, when you see these depictions of the Lord Jesus Christ being somebody that is weak, and it looks almost like they're malnutrition, and it looks like that they're suffering, and it looks like that, and they've got long hair. You know, Jesus never had long hair because the Bible teaches that it's a shame for man to have long hair. And Jesus would have never disobeyed the scripture. He's the Son of God, perfect in every way. But Jesus here grew up in the carpenter shop, knew what it was to pay taxes, knew what it was to work long hours, knew what it was to deal with people that were cheating and lying and stealing. He knew what it was to be that. Can you imagine going into the carpenter shop and getting a chair that was made by Jesus? Can you imagine walking into the carpenter shop and getting a table that Jesus made? Can you imagine walking into the carpenter shop and having a cabinet that Jesus himself did build?
Can you imagine walking into the carpenter shop and by the way, it would probably be a perfect table. Probably be a perfect cabinet. I mean, after all, if you're going to have a perfect carpenter, it can't help but be a perfect piece of work. But can you imagine here Jesus is growing up in the carpenter shop, but he never one time did he try to get out of being raised that way. Never one time did he vaunt against that which was Joseph and Mary. Never one time do you see that he was rebellious towards the authority that was placed over him in an earthly matter. Never one time do you see that all of a sudden he was giving Joseph and Mary a hard time. Not one time. Not one time do you see that he is lipping off or doing something in an insultive manner, if you will, to Joseph or to Mary. Not one time. I mean, he was going to be that which was the perfect image of a person living under the authority of another person, and yet being somebody that had all the fullness of God dwelling in him because he is God incarnate. Understand tonight that Jesus knew who he was. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Who is he tonight? He is the Son of God. Talk to me. He is the Son of God. Talk to me. He is the Son of God. Now wait a minute. Not only is he the Son of God, he had a trade. What was his trade? He was the carpenter. What was his trade? He was the carpenter. He was the carpenter. Not only that, statement number next. Jesus never confused, and this is the message. Jesus never confused his trade with what God created him to do. Never got it confused. Never got it confused. He never confused his trade. You know, we live in America. I think one of the greatest, yay, the greatest country on the face of the earth. There's no reason for anybody that has the will to work to go hungry in our country. There's no reason. You say, well, the jobs aren't out there. I remember years ago reading history when the jobs were not out there, but they went and made their own jobs. They would can things and sell them, bake things and sell them. They would find ways to be able to earn income. You know, a person can make it in America. The Bible teaches here in the book of Matthew, turn to it, please. Look at it in verse 21 of chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and she shall bring forth, it says, a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So what was his purpose? His purpose was to save people from sin. That was his purpose. So Jesus, who is he? He's the Son of God. Who is he? Talk to me. He is the Son of God. What was his trade? Jesus was a carpenter. What was it that was his purpose to fulfill? His purpose was to save people from sin. His purpose was to save people from sin. Talk to me. His purpose was to
save people from sin.
Now watch this. Here he is. Here he is at the age of 4 working beside Joseph. Here he is at the age of 6 working in the carpenter's shop. Here he is at the age of 10 working in the carpenter's shop. Here he is at the age of 12 working in the carpenter's shop, but significantly noted, you'll find out that after the age of 12, Joseph is no longer mentioned. Now when you come to the carpenter's shop at the age of 12 plus, you'll find out that he's not called the son of the carpenter. He's called the carpenter. So now when somebody comes by the carpenter shop at the age of 13, they notice the carpenter. At the age of 14, they notice the carpenter. Stay with me. At the age of 16, they notice the carpenter. The age of 18, carpenter. 22, carpenter. 24, carpenter. 26, carpenter. 28, carpenter. 30, carpenter. But watch. At the age of 30, there's also a choice. He could have got caught up, but he never lost what God had called him to do. Why was that? He never forgot who he was. He never forgot he's the only begotten of the Father. He never forgot, I am the Son of God. He never forgot that he had a mission in which he was supposed to fulfill. Isaiah brings that out expressly in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Do you realize that as Jesus never forgot who he was, that you ought never forget who you are? And don't get your trade confused with your purpose. God has not created you to become that which is excellent in a trade to the point that you trade your calling for the purpose. Your purpose, my purpose, is common. It's one of the same. Our purpose is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Your purpose, my purpose, is the same. What is it? It is to please God. That's our purpose. Well, I'm going to be the best type of typist that I possibly can be, and I'm for that. And I'm for you giving everything that you can to God. And I'm for you putting God first. And I'm for you becoming somebody that does well in business and becomes known in society as somebody that's well-trusted to the place that somebody has a vested interest in you and your good and your purpose and your desire to be able to go forward. But never forget what God has created you to do. God has created you to obey him. God has created you to be able to put him first. Hey, by the way, what if God was to say, I want you to go to the mission field tomorrow? Would you be willing to drop everything that you have down, pick up and go without any type of excuse? What if God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to drop everything that you have and serve Jesus Christ full time. Can I ask you, are you that surrendered? Are you that person that would be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine? Here he is, age of 4, in the carpenter shop. Age of 6, carpenter shop. Age of 8, carpenter shop. Age 16, carpenter shop. Age 19, carpenter shop. 25, carpenter shop. All of a sudden, age 30, you go by the carpenter shop and it says sold out. It says gone. It's empty now. Why? Because Jesus takes on his earthly ministry and he goes about to fulfill God's will in an open way. And can I tell you, it is very important that you and I never get bogged down or get confused with our trade. Always serve Jesus Christ. Hey, don't be ashamed of him in the workplace. Don't be ashamed of him. Somebody needs to step up and somebody needs to say, I'm a Christian and I'm living for God and I'm just not going to live for God on Sunday morning and I'm just not going to live for God on Sunday night and I'm just not going to live for God on a Wednesday night. But yes, I'll live for God Monday too and Tuesday too and Wednesday day and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to give God everything I've got. They ought to know that you're a Christian everywhere you go. You ought to brand yourself. Don't be one of these passive, good for nothing, common, everyday Christian. Be somebody, if you will, that when somebody has problems at work, they know that you're the first one to come to, because after all, you get your prayers answered. Be somebody that has a bright, glowing testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to allow Christ to be able to shine through you in your life by the very way that you conduct yourself in all godly and Christian behavior. Let's not just name the name of Christ, let's live out the name of Christ. The Bible speaks where it says you're supposed to work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean you're supposed to work to be saved. That means that after you do get saved, you're supposed to work. People around us should know who we are. You say, well, I'm a carpenter, but never forget God's calling on your life. But I'm a plumber, but never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I'm a brick mason, never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I'm a doctor, never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I work in a law firm office. Never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I work as a nurse. Never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I'm an entrepreneurist. Never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I'm a roofer. Never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I work in a dental lab. Never forget God's calling on your life. Well, I'm a mechanic. Never forget God's calling on your life. I work at the airport. Never forget God's calling on your life. I work out in the street. Never forget God's calling on your life. I work at the post office. Never forget God's calling on your life. I own houses and keep them. Never forget God's calling on your life. I'm saying tonight, God's got a calling on your life. And never forget, that's the main thing that you ought to be concerned about. It's not about living in a big house. It's not about driving a fancy car. It's not about owning the most expensive piece of garments that you could wear as an outfit. It is about Jesus Christ and putting Him first and keeping Him first and always being that one that serves Christ. Give Him everything that you have. Why? Because He gave you everything that He had. And I'm telling you tonight, He deserves all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. But don't ever forget that He never forgot His calling. And you ought never forget the calling that God has in your life. I'm saying this tonight. Jesus never forgot. Yes, He had a trade, but He never forgot His precious Father. He never forgot the mission that God had sent Him on to be able to fulfill. Life is but a vapor, the Bible says. It appears for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. It's quick. That's why God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You have no idea what tomorrow holds. We have people in our church right now, that are having all sorts of tests run. Many, many different people in our church. Having test run and praying and hoping for the best, that it comes out to be in a positive way for their good health. We have no idea. We have absolutely no idea. Our dear missionary brother was at a camp and he drowned trying to save somebody else's life. Now, wait a minute. That wasn't on his calendar of events for the day, but it happened. It happened. Well, a dear lady here this morning came as a visitor, and one of our college young people invited her today, and she came as a visitor, and just a couple of days ago was in a tragic accident, and there was bodies laying out on the highway, and she was one of them, and one of our college-age young people went up and tried to help her and encourage her. She came this morning, still had the fresh stitches all on the face. Now, can I tell you, you don't know what tomorrow holds, and so that's why we ought to give it our very best. And by the way, it's fun to serve God. Amen. I mean, you got to have fun today at church, seeing people get saved, seeing people get back, watching a monster truck. I was talking to Mrs. Freidenstein, and she said this. She said, preacher, I saw that monster truck go up, and when it went up, it went airborne. She said, it sent chills down my spine. Thinking, you know, what's going to happen there? And, you know, I saw the same thing. And as chills was going down her spine, I tell you, adrenaline was going up mine. And I'm like, wow, look, airborne, it comes down. I'm thinking those wheels are going to go sailing off of that thing. And somebody's going to have them for supper. But can I tell you, listen, it's exciting serving Jesus Christ. You never know what's going to happen. You never know. I mean, come on. You think about that. I still have it in my head that here Daniel is first week on the bus route and drives by and they take a wrong turn and they go down this other road. And here's this kid standing outside minding his own business, eating his breakfast. I mean, his cereal in his pajamas. And all of a sudden, somebody yells out or he yells out, says, that's my friend. And the bus stops. By the way, only at Parkside Baptist Church. And then you get off the bus and go running in and, hey, put your cereal away or drink it quick or here, I'll feed it to you. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Go get dressed. Here, parents, sign this. Let them on the bus. And they get on the bus and they come. I don't know whether he got saved or not, but it's a good story. Now, can I tell you, listen, never forget what God has called you to do. Philippians chapter 2, and I'll read 3 verses to you and I'm done. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, I read to you a moment ago. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord," it says, "to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things," it says, "and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, here's what it says. "And it is God," it says, "which worketh in you both to will and to do," listen to it now, "his good pleasure." God said, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that will allow me to work in them, to work in them. Now why? For his good pleasure. That's all he's wanting. To be able to work in us, to bring him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. For somebody not to be like a Saul that takes it upon himself to think that it was because of his stature, his background, his knowledge, who he was that God blessed. But rather somebody that says, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Now, can I tell you this tonight? He never forgot who he was. He did have a trade. But he never got his trade confused with the purpose that God had for his life. Don't ever allow your trade. You say, well, I tell you what, and I've heard people say this. They say, well, I tell you what, I'm not in the ministry. I beg a difference with you. We are all in the ministry. Your ministry is serving Jesus Christ. Whether you're serving Jesus Christ by in a barber shop as you cut hair, whether it's serving Jesus Christ as you're working in an ER and helping people, whether it's serving Jesus Christ and working in an office somewhere, whether it's serving Jesus Christ and riding around in a truck and giving certain services to different areas in the community, we are all serving Jesus Christ. But don't allow yourself to take Jesus Christ out of what you're doing for him. You know, it ought to be a time, and I walked over, and we were at McAllister's a couple weeks ago, and I shared this, and I'm still kind of amazed, and I like it, and I see people do it from time to time. And I walk by a table, and here's two college-age, young-looking ladies, professional looking, and they're sitting there at McAllister's, and they got their Bibles open. And I walked up to them and I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they said, "Oh, we just got out of church and we decided to come together and study our Bibles." I'm thinking, wow, just got out of church, came together, studied their Bibles. I'm thinking, most young people can't sit through a church service. They're waiting for a preacher to hurry up and get out. Hurry up, get out. We got things to do, places to go, people to see. Hurry up and get done. And here was two young ladies, couldn't get enough. So they had their Bibles open, and they were studying their Bibles. And I said, "Look, I don't know what church you go to, but I want to tell you." And I asked them if they were believers, and they said yes. And I said, "But I want to tell you, I appreciate you doing that, first off at all, second off, in public. In public. Because in our day and time, we need to be more public about our faith. In our day and time, we don't need it. If you're a public school young person, you need to be more public about your faith. By the way, you want to keep the boys away from you that are the wrong type of boys? You start carrying your Bible. You start praying before you eat your meal. You start living for God and dressing like a lady in school. And can I tell you what? They're going to back away because they're going to think you're a strange bird. They're going to think you're a strange person. You know why? Because you are putting Jesus Christ first in your life. And when you put Jesus Christ first in your life, can I tell you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. You know, I remember working in the secular world, and I remember I was down, and I worked at UPS for a little while, and I remember working at UPS, and I had this guy, first time on the job, I was working there, and this guy, he said a curse word.
He said, a curse word. And I went over to him, and I said, here, you need this. I didn't have all the tack I do have today. I just said, here, you need this. He said, why do you think I need that? I said, because your mouth just told on you. You need this. You need God in your life. He'd help you clean your act up. You need this. He said, well, that's not proper soul winning. No, but he needed this. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, did you know that every time that guy got around me from that day forward, and by the way, later on, I had a privilege to lead him to Christ. But every time I got around that guy from that day forward, did you know that every time he cursed, he apologized? He did. And a couple of times he started to say something and he cuffed his hand over his mouth. And, you know, why? Because he knew that there was a Christian. By the way, if people that are always cursing around you, my question would be, what are you doing about it? Why do they feel at liberty to say bad words around you? Why are you the one they tell the dirty stories to? Why are you the one that they invite over to watch some type of television viewing or something like that that has the wrong activities on? Why are you the one they pick out? Why aren't they picking out somebody other than you? Jesus never forgot who he was, don't you? Jesus had a trade. Yet as he traded, as he practiced that trade, he was still all of Jesus Christ. And as you practice your trade, you be all Christian. But Jesus never confused his trade with what God's will, his purpose was for his life. In our day and time, if we're not careful, we can get so caught up in two worlds. We can get caught up in the world that is known as this world system, whereby the prince and power of the air is in control. Or we can get so caught up in being in the Christian world, you listen to me, that we forget to reach in to others to try and show them the way to Jesus Christ. We have to be careful. We are in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we have to decide that we're going to live that way. We have to decide we're going to live above reproach. We have to decide that we're going to be close to God. We have to decide that we're going to give Jesus Christ all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, all the time. And yet at the very same time, understand that God wants to use you. Can I say tonight, he never forgot who he was. He had a trade. But he never confused his trade with his purpose. He never got so lost in his trade that he failed. And never would, by the way. But he did not fail in fulfilling his purpose. You and I could. Let's choose not to. Father, we thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.